Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. In Wiesbaden, Germany, freed American hostage Thomas Sutherland told reporters this morning about his more than 5 years in captivity. He described a beating about a year and a half after he was kidnapped.
I was a bad boy once, and so they gave me a bit of a biffing. And I asked for it, I guess. I disobeyed their rules, and I was very depressed at that point. No light for about 12 days, and they'd come in and bring the food in, you know, and then leave me, no light in the dark, eat in the dark, try it sometimes, not much fun.
What was a bit of a biffing?
Belting me on the insoles of my foot until I just couldn't take it any longer, until I started to scream, and they said, quiet, quiet, shut up.
Sutherland managed to follow world events on the radio. What bothered him most, he said, was hearing about last week's car bombing on the campus of his American University of Beirut and the AIDS plight of Magic Johnson.
I just lay there and I cried. One of the two times in my entire captivity that I cried, because I've always been a great fan of Magic Johnson. And for him to, you know, have to retire at 32, young age of 32. And then when College Hall was blown up, I thought, oh my God, you know, what's the world coming to? So I cried. I really did. When they beat me that time, I didn't cry. Couldn't cry.
For all the pain and isolation, Sutherland said he didn't feel despair.
I didn't feel abandoned. I didn't feel that they would ever shoot me or kill me. I didn't really feel my life was in danger at any great point in time.
Iran today indicated Joseph Sosipio may be the next hostage freed. And in Beirut, as newswoman Catherine Arms tells us, the leader of Hezbollah, Abbas Mousawi, held a news conference saying he's no longer demanding an Israeli tit-for-tat.
Mousawi said that in the coming few days and weeks, we will witness the closing of the hostage file. However, the prisoners in Israel and the hostages in Lebanon are not linked.
Hezbollah maintains it was never involved in actual hostage taking. The Senate this afternoon considers the ethical conduct of one of its own, as we hear from Rob Armstrong.
The Senate Ethics Committee has been bogged down with the case of Alan Cranston for months. The three committee Republicans, led by Jesse Helms of North Carolina, have been demanding that the California Democrat be censured for his dealings with indicted savings and loan kingpin Charles Keating. The three committee Democrats have been rejecting censure in favor of a lesser sanction. This afternoon, the committee's resolution, a strong reprimand, will be read on the Senate floor, and Cranston will appear to hear the charge and deliver a statement of defense. Resolution of the Cranston case will finally wrap up the case of the so-called Keating Five. The four other senators involved with Charles Keating, Democrats Riegel, DeConcini, and Glenn, and Republican McCain all received letters of reprimand months ago. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The jury in Keating's Los Angeles fraud trial is preparing for a third day of deliberations. President Bush will soon be a candidate again, but as Randall Pinkston reports, it's not clear who his chief handlers will be.
One problem in the formation of the president's re-election campaign team is the role of those who will run the operation. While White House Chief of Staff John Sununu has indicated he will direct the campaign from the White House, that idea has not been embraced by two key players, Robert Teeter and Fred Malik. Both men are said to be unwilling to be involved with the campaign if Sununu is the ultimate authority. But sources close to the administration point out that speculation about internal problems overlooks a few key points. The president is an experienced politician. Like his predecessors, he has his own sense of timing about what he wants to do and when, and does not always take advice from his aides. He will make the ultimate decisions, and so far, Mr. Bush hasn't revealed exactly what he's going to do. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, the White House.
The White House has one rosy bit of economic news to point to this morning. Housing starts jumped 7.3% in October, the biggest gain in 8 months. That suggests the housing industry may be resuming its traditional role of leading the economy out of recession. The scaled-down Soviet foreign ministry has a new boss this morning, but a familiar one. Jonathan Sanders saw him off to work.
Edward Shevardnadze was up early this morning. He was eager to return to work as the man in charge of Soviet foreign relations, but he took time to speak with CBS News. Shevardnadze said he had to take the job. There is still a threat from the far right, he said. We Democrats must show that we can make reform work. Since August, when Shevardnadze rallied to the side of the radicals around Boris Yeltsin, much has changed in Soviet politics. The central government is shrinking. Shevardnadze will now preside over a smaller diplomatic corps, and he will have significantly less power. Much now depends on the will of the republics. Shevardnadze says he received Yeltsin's backing before he accepted reappointment. And in line with the new political realities here, Shevardnadze says his first act will be to visit the republics. He needs to learn what they want to do in foreign affairs. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
Kentucky's governor says the danger is subsiding in Shepherdsville, where a CSX freight train carrying chemicals and cluster bombs tumbled into the Salt River yesterday after a bridge collapse. A fire at the site is reported almost out. With at least 40 people already known dead, rescuers are looking for more victims of yesterday's derailment of a runaway train at a busy highway intersection at Tehuacan in central Mexico. More than a dozen people were hurt, none critically, when tornado-like winds hit Brooksville, Mississippi, damaging houses and flipping over mobile homes. The Michigan Board of Medicine could vote today to suspend the medical license of the so-called Dr. Death, Jack Kevorkian, who has helped three women commit suicide. The state's attorney general has asked the license be suspended. The Associated Press reports that after months of pressure from the United States and other nations, North Korea agreed in principle today to keep nuclear weapons off the divided peninsula. However, other sources deny such a pledge was made. If North Korea has renounced nuclear weapons, it would remove what U.S. officials have called the biggest threat to security in Asia. The conflicting reports come during a visit by Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney. According to what the AP calls highly placed government sources, the Communist North agreed with South Korea to call for the elimination of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. The St. Louis-based McDonnell Douglas Corporation, the nation's number one defense contractor, has signed a $2 billion deal to sell 40% of its commercial jet manufacturing business to a Taiwan government-backed venture. The long-rumored deal has drawn fire from lawmakers who say it threatens one of the few remaining dominant export technologies. But McDonnell Douglas spokesman Pete Sloan offers assurances the company's product will remain in the whole made in the USA.
The key technology issue, which is design, will be done in the United States, and final assembly will be done in the United States. What we are doing here is seeking an equity investment partner who will build major sub-assemblies for the aircraft, much like is done now for many commercial aircraft being produced in the United States.
The defense contractor said it hopes to complete the deal by January 31st, subject to government approval. Soviet and Group of Seven officials are crossing the T's and dotting the I's on a debt relief package today. It could provide a $1 billion loan to help the Soviets pay short-term bills. Visiting finance officials from the world's richest democracies first met with Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev before starting a third day of talks with Republic leaders. Overseas, the dollar is lower, London gold is down 70 cents, and on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead, 7.61 at 2939.18. Time on the roundup, 10 minutes past 7.